It's not something that...
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning once again. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's quite very important. It's right time to thank Madia Sangala with the Twilight. And you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is, Eagle FM. And we are greeting you from, this, you know, beautiful radio station. And, this is the time from the hour of 6 until 8. Where we are dealing with global affairs, economic relations, trade, and also issues which are affecting our bread and butter. We understand that, you know, people are preparing for tomorrow, where you have local and regional authority elections, where people are going to elect their leaders, and also to see what is Namibia going to be, how is Namibia going to be, how is service delivery going to be, what are we going to change in terms of our policy of development, and also, what are the new breeds of leaders that we are going to have? You know, there is quite a lot of things which is happening in Namibia. There's quite a lot of things which is happening in Namibia, particularly from a political point of view. But, you know, one may also be tempted to ask himself or herself to say, is this the Namibia that we want? Is this the maturity of politics that we want? And, you know, nobody wants to touch on the aspect of fights between politicians because, you know, Namibia, we are known to be a very peaceful country, but if you see like what is happening, where people are exchanging punches, you know, no matter the disagreement in terms of ideology, in terms of politics, you know, resulting into punches, resulting into fights, that is downgrading and also deteriorating of politics at the local and at the national level, and maybe it's a time for our leaders also to think and also see to see what is that we are going to agree and how should we make sure that after all political contestation, Namibia people will remain because Namibia is not about who is in charge. It's also not about who has power at that time, but it's about the future. It's about what we have shared beforehand. What put us together as Namibians, and also what is going to remain after we are all gone, because if we have to put that into thinking, particularly when you're going to connect it to today's discussion of long-term planning, we must think beyond our time. That is the only way that we're going to catch up with other countries. Otherwise, we'll be just, you know, a nation where we are following, where we are receiving direction, even if we do not understand where the, who is, you know, behind that so-called direction to see Namibia move this side. But, you know, that is a discussion that we are going to enter into. But it's also very important to look at what is really happening around the world, what is really happening around the world, particularly regarding development. So, indicating to you this morning that, you know, we are a few days before December, and almost just 1 month before we go to 2026. And remember, 2025 will be history, and there is nothing that we can do about it but learn from 2025 to see what and how are we going to navigate 2026, and also how we are going to make sure that what we do now and also what we are going to do in 2026 will able to allow us to reach where we want. So it's quite very important to look at that context, particularly when we think beyond 5 years, we think beyond our time. And we need to make sure that we put more effort on what need to be done, where, how, by who, and also how we can share a common agenda, because one must be able to understand that no matter the situation of the jungle, no matter, you know, our disagreement, there is those things that we share to say everybody want a good Namibia, everybody want kids to go to better schools, everybody want bread on the table, everybody wants security, and also everybody want to be seen, because there is no Namibian who is better than other Namibian when you look at our constitution. And also that principle must be applied in terms of rights, and also in terms of equal economic distribution and also opportunity. That is the context that we must operate from. We must operate from high level of, you know, strategic thinking, and also high level of, you know, intellectual thinking, so that we can be able to build our country. So we need to start from that point and see how things will turn out, because at the end of the day, after every fight, after every battle, the concept of Namibia must remain, and development must be prioritized at all sector, at all level, whether it's a pastor in church, whether it's a civil society leader, whether it's somebody on the bicycle, whether it's a vendor who is waking up every morning, whether it's a child. They must know that we have a bigger project than an individual, but that is something that needs to be shared by everybody. So what is happening in the continent of Africa? What is happening in the world? What are some of the key developments, and what can we learn moving forward? You know, there is a ongoing, just started, EU-Africa summit. European Union and African leaders gather in Angola for EU-African, you know, summit to look at key issues, to look at key issues such as development, such as peace, security, governance, and multilateralism, and also to see what Africa has for African people and what can we learn from that. Because when you look at, you know, a lot of events which are going on, somebody may also want to ask to say, are these just meetings? Are these just summits after summit? Or are we getting something tangible? Even if there have been progress, at what pace that progress have been, you know, on? And also to look at to say, if you have, for example, what is happening now in Angola, the 7th Africa and EU summit, which is being held in Angola. And is why it's held in Angola, because the chairperson of AU politically is Mr. or the president of Angola, João Lourenço. And he's hosting leaders, such as the president of EU, hosting African leaders. We've seen MSM Nangangwa is already there, and I hope we're also going to attend there. But it's quite very important to look at what is really happening, what is the aim of this event, and also how are these events going to translate into tangible, you know, tangible results. Because, you know, one may also be tempted to think to say, do we have plan for the world as Africans, or is only the world which have plan for us? Because if you go to Asia, if you go to China, if you go to Russia, if you go to Malaysia, people have what you call, if you go to the US, people have what they call African studies. They put us in their plan to say, this is how we're going to deal with Africa. This is what we need to study and know in Africa. And also, this is how we are going to cooperate in Africa. And this is how we are going also to get our competitive advantage, either in terms of businesses, in terms of, you know, corporations, and also in terms of expanding their own interests. But the question has always been to say, is Africa having a plan how to deal with the world, or is only the world which has to deal with us? Because we understand the game of international relations, although it's centered in corporations, at the center of that is interest within, you know, for the institution that are dealing with you, and also people are pursuing interest of their own state. That's why when you look, for example, and I think it's going to be a long journey for the president of France, that is Emmanuel Macron, because before G20, he's been moving around Africa to make sure that he is expanding the interests of France in Africa, and also rebuild those relationships, which from the French point of view is a very good thing. From the French point of view, it's a very good thing to have that relations, but are the Africans having that plan? Because from there, understand, you also maybe go to EU to look at how are the decision going to be made. And out of all this, out of you know, complication in terms of materialism, what Africa are going to point out? Because remember, there have been clear plan to say debt relief, debt management strategy, reform of financial, you know, international financial institutions, and Africa to have permanent representation at the United Nations. Now, you may be able to understand that when you look at the African context, at multilateral point of view, at an international level point of view, it seems like, you know, Africa have a very good relationship with the whole world. But are these states Are these states, are these economic bodies willing to support Africa, even for once, to say, yes, we understand you. This is what is going to be done. We are going to support change, transformation of EU Security Council. Because when you look, for example, G20, I was very happy to look at presentations. I was very happy to look at points, especially when the EU leaders and also leaders from around the world are praising Africa. They are praising Ramaphosa. They are praising South Africa. They are also part of the declaration of the future of not only Africa, but the world and where things need to go. But when we go to UNGA, who is defending Africa? For how long, for example, Africa have been trying to get in the Security Council to be at a dinner table. But is this maybe going to be the transformation or just summit to see this is where we can help you? But also to look at, man, when you see, for example, what is happening in Nigeria, abductions of students, teachers, pastors, and on Sunday, the Pope, the Catholic Pope, indicated that he is concerned, and those who were abducted must be released. Look at issues of security. Have the security of Africa improved? Who was at the center, or who has been at the center of advancing security in Africa? You had various bodies in Africa, various military assistants, so-called military assistants, to say. But are these really assisting Africa to get it peace? Because when it comes to silencing of guns, that has been a discussion for a very long time. But are we succeeding? Are we succeeding in SADC region? Are we succeeding in ECOWAS? Are we succeeding in Northern Africa? Are we succeeding in IAC? Just from that point of view, in terms of maybe it's also the time, in terms of migrations, how are the discussions going to be? But for now, let us look at this two-day event that marked the 25 years of EU and Africa partnership, and also to look at maybe from our point of analysis as political scientists and also as those who look and think of development, to say, in the past 25 years of EU-Africa partnership, who has benefited more? Did the education of Africa transformed? Did the quality of life transformed under this partnership? Or is the other way around? Did the discussion of mineral resource beneficiation succeeded? We are seeing these beautiful words, prosperity, people migration and mobility, green development, digitalization. And in terms of digitalization, how did Africa improve? Maybe we are also going to look at also aspect of trade. How is the trade of Africa going to improve? How is economic integration and all these things? So let us look at this news and also see what will happen, and also what will be the result of summits. Because, you know, summits become a uniform. You see, leaders, you may also be able to think that, you know, when it comes to international affairs and international summits, African leaders, they travel day and night. And it's not the first time. They have been traveling since 1960s. They've been traveling since 1960 to see what can we do about African development. But what is also, and what also I don't want to hear, although I'm going to hear it. And also what maybe will change is the aspect of, we need more money. You need more money from who? If you hold the resources. No, we need more money to develop Africa. We need more assistance. But for how long did other countries who developed had that in mind to say, you need more money? Do you need more money, or you need greater minds, or you need self trust and confidence? Maybe that is a perspective that need to be looked at. And at the end of the day, it's also about Namibia to say, EU African Union Summit, what is there for us? Because we must also be selfish enough to look at our national interest. Are our national interest be considered? Or are we just going to do what the world wants us to do? Because when I was listening to the speech and also presentation from South Africa, and especially Dr. Ramakgopa, the Minister of Electricity and Energy, who said there is nothing that will stop South Africa from prioritizing its own people. They understand this aspect of renewable energy, but that cannot be done. That cannot be done in the hands of not prioritizing people to say, yes, we have been using coal. We understand that coal is not a renewable source. So it's not good for green energy. But Africans are not the main contributor. Africa contributes less than 5% to greenhouse gases. But let us prioritize our own people, because that is a point of, it's supposed to be, and it has to be, a fundamental point of departure to say, when I'm going to this meeting, when I'm going to these negotiations, what is in for my people? What is in for Zimbabwe? When Nangagwa is sitting there, what is in for Zimbabwe? When Gabon is speaking, is there, what is in for Gabon? When Madagascar is at this, what is in for Madagascar? When Namibia is there, what is in for Namibia? And also, our African leaders, confident enough not only to speak, but to make decisions. But it's quite a very good difference between speaking with clarity and also speaking with the direction we want to get, and also enter into an agreement that only your people will get 2% of that. And you can look at it from all perspectives of development to say, Africa, we will not continue to be at the receiving end and at the mercy of people, and to be looked like we are at the mercy of people, if the money that we want is coming from the resources that we take from Africa. Sometimes they are taken in the advantage of, African people, but this does not mean it's bad to be in a relationship with the external world, but it's also quite disappointing to be in a relationship with an external world where we are not very clear about what you want. Because there is a saying to say, if you don't know who you are, the world will define you, and the world will define you as Africans who need assistance, as Africans who are just, food, who are just need advice, who need planning in terms of their institutional plan, and Africans who need to do more. In Africa, who are always behind. But when you look at the great innovation, you also be interested to say, some of this great innovation in all parts of the world, there are African intellectuals there. There are African scientists who are, I don't want to say they are taken, but they are showing that they are able to do it, but it's not, they are not doing it in their continent. But let's hope the wind of transformation will come in, where Africa will stand out, not only in terms of hosting global meetings, but also having an impact. Because after shaking of hands, the situation must change. Let us also not be Africans of beggars. To say, guys, we need more money. The concept of needing more money shows that you do not have ability to position yourself. Why can't we speak about at the one-on-one level of international trade, one-on-one level of interest? If the world is for Africans, if the world is for Africans, if all the 19 members of G20 agreed on declarations to say this is a position, what will stop the transformation of UN Security Council? What will stop the review, the practical review of IMF funding system? And what will also stop the equality of either it's ICC or ICJ? What will stop that? Because Africa has a relationship with the whole world, but is this relationship fair enough? Because when you look, for example, at TICAD, what have happened, when you look at the money that Africa is given, when you look at Africa and China relations, you'll be interested to see, maybe this is going to be the transformation of Africa, but we have practicalities on the ground. So let's look at a commercial break, then we can come straight to this.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? like don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes past the hour of 6. We are progressing at an understandable pace with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at EU-Africa Summit. It's held in Angola where President João Lourenço is hosting, global leaders, especially from EU and also African leaders, to discuss issues of security, issues of development, and also issues of integrations, and also to see how is the outcome of this summit. Is this official? Is this just being done to tick the boxes, or there is going to be progress after that? And so let us look at this news before we look at other development.
The 7th annual European Union African Union Summit opened in Angola on Monday under the theme Promoting Peace and Prosperity Through Effective Multilateralism. Mahmoud Ali Youssef is chair of the African Union Commission. As we all know, uncertainty is prevailing on the international scene. Established norms of international geopolitics have been called into question. We're witnessing escalating conflicts, rising terrorism and extremism, and the devitalization of international law. Africa is facing its own crises, political, security, and developmental. However, for several decades, our leaders have thought about the path to follow to achieve a peaceful, integrated, and prosperous Africa. 47 heads of state and government are participating in the summit. This year's event marks 25 years of EU-AU partnership.
Africa and Europe are called to answer the very same questions. How can we create good jobs for our people? How can we deliver on the aspiration of our youth? How can we de-risk and diversify our economies? How can we break free from unsustainable dependencies while ensuring access to capital, resources, and technologies we need? Excellencies, fellow leaders, I believe that many of the answers lie in our partnership. In a more confrontational global economy, Africa and Europe need each other more than ever before.
The EU is Africa's leading trade partner, but relations have been strained by the growing influence of Russia, China, and the US.
Yeah, those are the beautiful good words, especially from AU Commission Chairperson and also EU President Ms. van der Rijn, and also to see what is the meaning of Africa and EU need each other than before, and to see and also maybe the question you need to ask yourself, just a question of curiosity to say, man, if Africans are not in the room, how are other countries looking at us? How are other, continents looking at us? If African leaders are not in the room, how are other, continents looking at us? Are they looking at us as a serious continent? Are they looking at us as a real trading partner? Are they looking at us as we continue to need assistance and assistance? And also, what will be the outcome of, summit? It's quite very interesting to see. But what matters is tangibilities of the result, because what is being presented at summits and what we see out, when you see every year over 200, thousands of Africans are moving to Europe, moving some of them, many of them in very critical conditions, end up getting jobs that you cannot imagine. Some of them, die in the Mediterranean Sea. Africans are leaving the country, I mean the continent, through different routes, such as also crossing the deserts there to the Middle East. Situations are not favorable. But how is this summit going to be, especially in terms of security? And I just hope what Namibia is vying for, especially when we put our candidate there for president of Interpol, maybe will be one of the great moves that will also help in assistance of Africans. But also the main thing that we need to think of is to say, those Africans who traveled abroad to study, are they willing to come back at home to develop Africa? Or we are just going to be an extraction of resources, and not only of resources in terms of raw materials, but extractions of even intellectual capacities. Because when you look at World Bank, when you look at the IMF, when you look at World Trade Organizations, those, you have executives from Africa. The leader of WTO is a well-known Nigerian international economist, but what changes are coming to Africa? But it's not to say we should not be in relationship with other continents. We should not in relationship with other continents, but we must be able to stand out and also develop Africa, and also be serious about ourselves to say, if we want to develop, yes, we must look at other continents, but is it really necessary not to look at what we can do and how we can do it to develop our country, our countries, and our continent? Because when it is indicated that Africa and EU is a main EU is a main trading partner of Africa, what are we trading with? Did anything change in terms of what we've been trading with EU from 1990? Look at the minerals. Did we get an opportunity to add value and develop our resources? Are we still importing toothpicks? If you've been in a relationship for 25 years and you are still importing toothpicks, is that a fair relationship? Or is a relationship which continue to strengthen a dependency? Because what the president of EU said is that she spoke about sustainable development, and also spoke about dependency. Is that really beneficial? So it's something that our leaders need to look at, and I see we are represented today. I've seen Ambassador Memeashipara Musavi, who is the Minister of International Relations and Trade, and we hope the position of Namibia will be articulated. But what is necessary is the outcome. What is necessary is the outcome, and also what we get at home. Now, interestingly, there is I don't know if it's called the family fight, which also affect the politics not only of South Africa, but also the politics of the world. It's indicating that South African police said on Sunday it would investigate the former president Jacob Zuma's daughter over allegations of recruiting South Africans to fight for Russia in Ukraine. Now, what is very interesting is that that of who is going to be investigated is Duduzile Zuma Sabudla, the favorite daughter and the political active and member of parliament of South Africa, and member of MK, and who brought the case to the police is also the half sister of Duduzile Zuma. Is Zuma's daughters taking each other's to court over recruitment of South Africans to fight for Russia in Ukraine? Because we understood that there had been a report about South African and even Kenyans fighting in Ukraine, in the side of Russia, especially in that context of mercenaries, but stated that, you know, the complaint against Duduzire Zuma was filed by her half-sister, that is Konzasana Bogani Zuma Kube, who asked authority to investigate. And it's unclear how 17 South African men ended up as mercenaries for Russia. But, you know, it's quite interesting to look at. So coming from the family of Zuma, daughters fighting each other, taking each other to court to say Duduzire has a role to play. But South African police said it would investigate Duduzire. You know, Duduzire has also been not far from court cases. He has also been fighting the case of July uprising, especially that time when her father was arrested, and it caused a bit of chaotic in South Africa, where over 100 of people died, and the rooting continued. But you know, it's, you don't know. But you know, let us look at this news and also see how things will turn out, and also to see how come at this level, it's daughter to daughter. That is not only family affair, but it's a national issue, which also tend to be an international issue, especially when you have mercenaries being recruited to fight on the side of Russia. And also, it's not only in South Africa. At that time, we have also seen reports of Kenyan war veterans or former soldiers also find themselves in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Understand that there is still ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, and also to see how things will turn out, particularly when global power players are also involved, because it's not only Russia and Ukraine. There's a lot of interest. The EU, who is here in Africa, and members of NATO, they are also on the side of Ukraine, but also to see who is playing with who, and also how is Africans going to, you know, see how things would turn out, especially from that point of Russia in Ukraine, because the war in Russia and Ukraine is more than a one-on-one war. There's a lot of players involved, and there's also a lot of interest, and it's a war which have cost billions of dollars, and also the loss of lives, disruption in economic trade, and also when you look at the global economic outlook for the past 3 years, look at the global economic outlook. The first point of reference is to look at the impact of Russia and Ukraine war in supply chain, in countries' finance, and also in you know, redirecting of funds. Because when there is war in Ukraine and Russia, supporters and also countries which are partners of Ukraine, they prioritize their friend over you who need the bread here. You are dying of hunger. People are buying not only AK-47 but advanced drone, and also buying rockets to defend their interest. But you know, seems like Duduzire is not getting out of trouble. It's not getting out of trouble war after war, especially in South African politics, after the fight with former my deputy president of EFF, Fred Shivambu. Then you are also seeing also the fight for power in MK. Then you are also seeing the court cases. Then now the sister is here. And, seems like, she has, the father's spirit, because Zuma has a history of winning, cases, and, fights has been part of, that. But, the main important thing is that how is Africa going to come out of this, conflict? And also, when are we going to prioritize our own, you know, development, agenda, which, has been, placed on the table, particularly African Continental Free Trade Area under, African Agenda 2063. And also to see the changes of life, because the same South Africa, which hosted G20, the same South Africa with the highest economic inequality, and, also followed by Namibia, and also there's a lot going on there. But let us look at this Because it's more than daughters fighting each other. It's something that is on an international platform.
24.
South African police said Sunday it would investigate former President Jacob Zuma's daughter for her alleged role in recruiting South Africans to fight for Russia in Ukraine. Police said a complaint against Duduzile Zuma Samdula was filed by her half-sister, Nkosazana Bonganini Zuma Mkube, who asked the authorities to investigate. It is unclear how the 17 South African men ended up as mercenaries for Russia, but they sent distress calls in early November asking to be evacuated. Zuma Samdula, a member of South Africa's parliament from her father's Umkhonto we Sizwe party, appeared in court on November 10th for her trial on charges of incitement to cause terrorism related to riots that left over 350 people dead in July of 2021. She is accused of inciting public violence via social media posts she made before and during the riots. The rioting began after Jacob Zuma was sent to prison for defying a court order to testify at an inquiry investigating widespread corruption during his time as president from 2009 to 2018.
Yeah, that is what's happening that side of South Africa. And let's look at the short commercial break, then we can continue before we go to the conversation for today when we speak about long-term planning and the impact of long-term planning in the public sector and also what needs to be done. How can we think beyond our time and also what can we do to make sure that we don't only look at ourselves but it's also look at our future and also what does that has on the state development and also to look at how do we need to manage how can we manage resources for a longer term? How can we manage resources for a longer term? Because if you have a budget for the development of a village council, for example, don't only think about finishing that, but think about something that you can build that can sustain this even when you are not there. So that is the conversation that we're going to have. However, you can still engage us in the studio where we are at an international news at 083-288-401-083-288-401.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe pa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa ninge pata fanona mwanika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe, it's 50 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until we give the mic to Mike at 8. Let us look at what is happening in Gambia. It was indicated that, you know, Cameroon opposition leader flees to Gambia after contested elections. It was stated that, you know, Gambia said it was temporarily hosting Cameroonian opposition leader, that is Issa Tchiroma Bakari, after disputed elections in his country that saw long-term President Paul Biya win the eighth term, which have triggered deadly protest demonstrations, which has also caused loss of lives. And, you know, it's a question of, you know, Africa and democracy. Africa and democracy. And after 60 years of African independence, after over 60 years of African independence, we'll be able to see that when it comes to democracy, it's coming to democracy in Africa, when somebody lost elections, or when elections are being held, there's always, if there are no court cases, there are always challenges, there are always protest, there are always various pronunciation, and this is all cling to power, because after Tchiroma has also criticized Paul Biya, who has been in power for 42 years, and is the oldest president in the world, and there are predictions that by the time he's going to be done with his eighth term, it's going to be almost 100 years. And they are also, and you do not know, and it's not guaranteed that he's going to step down after the eighth term. It's not guaranteed, and you don't have a right over his future, because if he has power to run at 92, who said he's not going to run at 98? You know, what does this mean to African, democracy, and also to African transition in terms of, allowing new generations to lead, even grooming. And there is this thing in African politics to say, young people, you are able to lead, but you need to be transformed. You need to be, there must be transition. There must be, transmission built. But are the Africans, young leaders? Because if you are now in Cameroon and you are 70 years old, in Cameroon, and you are in politics, you must forget about, seeing power, and also seeing opportunity to lead, to say, is it really necessary for me to be in power for 42 years? Is it really necessary at this point in time? What new thing should I bring? Yes, I may have good advisor, or we are using African democracy or democracy with African characteristics. But after that, what is also the safety of those who contest with you? Because contestation is very important for democracy. But what is the safety of those who are against you in terms of your ideology, of those who have an alternative? Because at the end of the day, after you lost from a big man, you have to run for your life, for your safety. And also, it's not easy. It's very tough. Especially to be an opposition leader in other African countries. And we must be thankful to say in Namibia, although we have also our own problems, we have a very good example of peace and stability. And that is really something that we continue to champion, to say in Namibia there is peace and stability. And we just need to advance on other level, because that is one of our strengths, to say we can disagree, but you have peace and stability, and also respect of the rule of law. Because if you compare with other countries, Tanzania, compare with other countries, look at Malawi, Madagascar, Mozambique, Gambia, many other countries, not really to say they are bad countries, but in terms of the presidency which is set, I think we must thank ourselves for that. Although we have a lot of things to accomplish, peace, stability, and also maintain some level of civilization or civilized nation. That is something that you cannot take away from Namibians. So let us look at this news before we go to the conversation for today of long-term planning, what need to be done, what need to be included, how is necessary to be long-term planners in public sector, actually transform our public sector and other, also other sectors of the economy, and also what need to be done, especially at this point in time, looking at bigger plans that Namibia has, and also the practicality of those plans, and also on top of planning, what is the necessity of having a good plan, and also having good implementers. How should we align planning with implementation? But for now, let us look at the case of Cameroon, and also move forward.
Gambia on Sunday said it was temporarily hosting Cameroonian opposition leader Issa Chiroma Bakari after a disputed election in his country saw long-term President Paul Biya win an eighth term, triggering deadly protests. The Gambia's Ministry of Information said in a statement Sunday that Chiroma arrived in the small West African country on November 7 and is being hosted purely on humanitarian grounds and for the purpose of ensuring his safety. Chiroma's spokesperson Alice Nkom confirmed the opposition leader's presence in Gambia in a statement on Sunday. Cameroon's opposition has contested the results of the October 12 election that secured the victory for Biya, the world's oldest president, at 92. His election rival Chiroma claims to have won and has called on Cameroonians to reject the official results. The Cameroon's government has said it plans to initiate legal proceedings against Chiroma for his repeated calls for insurrection.
We are moving forward. Moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. That is what's happening, especially that side of Gambia. And also regarding post-elections, those post-elections in Africa. It's a different story, but I think through transformation and it's through the heads of state who meet and also discuss those issues, and maybe when they meet often, maybe we'll see the transformation of Africa, because we cannot say we don't have great minds who are leading us, then we'll be able, we are lying to ourselves. We have great minds, but the question is how are they advising each other? And I was looking at the list of the attendees at AU European Summit, and there are people who I want to see there. They say is Meme Samia there, is Meme Samia coming, is Paul Biya also coming, is attending, or they send their representative, and also how do these our African leaders of our time speak about our future? How is the future of Africa, especially looking at the context of development, to say Africa is the only continent at any point in time in 2025 with the youngest population, with the youngest potential, compared to all the continents, and is at the point where it needs active young people to be participating in economic development. It needs young people to have opportunities to innovate, think. Quality education, good institutions, and who has to be in charge of opening those opportunities? Is it really from the outside, or we need to make sure that when it's coming to our internal institutions, we have good leaders who recognize that and also assist in those development? Because when time comes, when times comes, you find yourself, you are no more having a younger generation. People get old, and it also take you more time for you to come back to the stage, where you are supposed to be. Because at any, at this point in time, Africa is the only continent with the youngest population, and over 70% is under the age of 30. And this is an active, fresh mind who need to be capacitated in terms of technology, digitalization, innovations, not only for short-term opportunities, but for long-term opportunities that can also pave the future for the way forward, because the war that Africa need to fight is an economic war. It's the war of economic independence, and it's also the war of, economic transformation, and also to stand on our own, although in relationship with other continents. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we look at what is the discussion for today, what we have on the table today, and how are we going to navigate this discussion, especially when you look at long-term planning and also with implementation, and also to say how many strategic plans that we have, how many strategic plans that were implemented, at what level of evaluation, at what level when it's come to the evaluation of those strategic plans, what are the causes of unimplemented strategic plans, either is from agencies, OMAS, and how many institutions do not have strategic plan. Because I was speaking last week, I was speaking to the spokesperson and the manager for communication from NIPAM, who spoke more on the importance of strategic plan or raising funds to make sure that institutions get their strategic plans in order. But we are going to discuss that to see, is it only good about planning, but how can you connect planning with implementation, and what can we learn new from previous plans? Because we can criticize what we can criticize, but if we don't change, if we don't, come up with different ways of doing things, we'll continue to discuss those things, and we'll find ourselves at the age of 75 speaking about we need implementation, speaking about 2022 African peer review mechanism said you need implementation, when again governance report of 2025 saying you need implementation and connecting your policies with you're connecting, we have coherent policies with your institutions that can be able to assist in transformation of what you said you want to achieve. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can look at the conversation for today, especially when it's coming to planning at the public sector level. But let's get to this short commercial break. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. What is that that we celebrate? Do we celebrate beautiful crafted documents, or do we celebrate the outcome and the results of that document? You have a right. Implement us. How can you ever write implement us? And we can also speak about leveraging on young educated people to be the main implementers of plans. Because to be honest, for you to implement a long-term strategic plan, you need somebody not only who is educated, but somebody who understand where the country is going, where the institutions are going, but also somebody who does not only think for himself or herself, but somebody who think of what is the impact of my role after 10 years or after 20 years. Because when you speak about long-term planning, do we have that at a personal level? Do we have that at the institutional level? Or is everybody is on the survival mode? And how is that going to make it difficult for us to move forward? So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi totanjuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi inawa no neutro o tukwetira o special ngenda shake ngeje pa o marudi dai loka o kone ujendi kenawa nokumona o ijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. We are looking at economy and development affairs. And today we have questions to say how is our planning? What is the importance of long-term planning? What is long-term planning? And also, what is the difference between, institutional strategic plan and also implementation mechanisms, what we need to do, especially with our public sector, to say what we need to do if we want to transform Namibia. And the engine of transformation is public sector, either from a policy-making point of view or championing of developmental agendas, to say how can long-term planning improve our national development. And looking at countries that we have to draw inspirations from, such as China, because before 1950s, there is what is called the old China and the new China. Before 1950s, problems that have been happening in we can speak about corruption, speak about governance, speak about poverty. China was not at the position where other countries in the world are, but they had a strong leadership who said in the next 50 years, people sit and plan for 50 years to say, in the next 50 years, we are not going to tolerate this. It's corruption. We are going to change economic policy. We are going to improve governance. We are going to capacitate the state to run developmental agenda. We are going to make sure that the SOEs are strategic key players in Chinese development, not only at home, but also abroad. And they also had plans about Africa. And they have plans about Europe. And also they have plans about the US. They have plans about their education. And they have implemented that. And they also think beyond 50 years, because the development of China, the international economies will be able to tell you that the development of China is not an accident. It's not only from the resilient, but from those men and women who plan to say Chinese communism with Chinese characteristics in terms of the economy. This is how they plan, and they are uncompromised, principles, because with planning is to say, this is our long-term plan. No matter the changes, the goalpost is not going to change. But these are also the principles that we are standing with to say honesty, honesty, loving of your country, and zero tolerance to corruption. Because the reports are indicating that former agriculture minister sentenced to death because they are uncompromising principles of to say if you are corrupt, if you are accepting bribes, then you are a danger to the development of China. Not only in China, but in other developed countries. They thought, and in their thinking and planning, they don't only put things on paper, but they do it on a practical level. And also, when you put it that way, the planning should not is not only happening from state leaders. It's happening at all sectors, at local authority level, at regional authority level. You know, you have what is called strategic executive. But if you go to those who study strategic management, they will be able to tell you to say the strategic executives. Your job is to be strategic. And I see a lot of people are calling themselves strategists. Strategist is not really to say this person can think and, move fast. But if you are a strategic executive, your job is to think long term. Why do you think people complain about, why I'm doing all the work, but this guy is just sitting at the office and, at the end of the day, getting 200,000 per month. The initial point of view is to say this person's job was supposed to think and plan. Not to deal with daily activities, but to think and plan. But what do we have in Namibia? How many strategic executives do we have that are long-term thinker? How many of our leaders that we have that are long-term thinker? And how should we improve that in terms of long-term thinking? And what is included in long-term thinking? Is finance, is policy, and most importantly, is identified talent and human capital. Now, let's look at Namibia. We've been striving for industrialization. Strategic plans, SOEs, take private sector, take local authorities, put them on one table and look at those plans to say they are 5-year plan, but are they looking at vision? Were they looking at vision 2030? Are the dots connecting? Because the dots were supposed to connect now, because we are closer to our goalpost. The dots were supposed to connect now. Did that plan include identification of talent? Did that plan include, training of the young people with on-time skills that are required? Because now we find ourselves in a situation, then we are asking ourselves a lot of questions. Why are we here when you said we were going there? Are the dots connecting? If the dots are connecting, what is the gap? Had we thought long-term? Or we just spoke long term? Had we planned long term only? Or we also implemented with the aim of long term? Look at how we manage public finance. Look at the scrutiny of public finance management and also institutional management. Did we thought and plan long term and implement it that way? Or the planners and implementers are not the same? Or the planners and implementers are not, they not sit on one table. because that those are some of the questions that we need to continue asking ourselves, to say, why do we want to develop if that of who planning does not speak to that of who is implementing, and that of who is implementing does not, who is implementing does not understand the vision. Because had we have that, you wouldn't have somebody who is running away with, for example, drought relief food, storing them at his or her farm that was supposed to be given to the people who are dying of hunger. Because had this person understood that this is where the country is going, and this is what we are trying to solve. This is the poverty we are trying to solve. This is food insecurity that we are trying to solve. We wouldn't be here. Had we complemented the long-term plan with implementation, we wouldn't speak about reviving of green schemes. Things were supposed to come out naturally. If we thought long-term, we wouldn't think about, we wouldn't speak about revision of PECA Act. But what is interesting now is that let us now look ahead, because it's always important to look ahead, to say, okay, what can we learn from the past? Because if we thought long-term, we wouldn't pressure ourselves now. Because when you look at how things are moving now, the current administration is doing a very great job. But was it supposed to be at this pressure? Had we thought long-term and implemented with a long-term mind in mind? So now, what can we do to make sure that our planning and implementations, they work together? Do we need to go back and sit, or we need to identify new principles that we are going to use to make sure that, yes, Vision 2030 is tomorrow. It's not far anymore. Had we thought long term, what we did in 2025 was supposed to be answering to what we planned in 2011. Is that happening? Did we have a relationship between old plans and current plans? Because I remember one economist, Salomo Hay, spoke at one point to say, yes, let us not jump from this plan to another plan. We're supposed to build on the previous plans. Are we still going to do that? Okay, after 2030, are we still going to build on what we plan? Or we are going to come up with new plans? And what is the cost? And also maybe also to go back and ask ourselves to say, who was assisting us in our planning? And that is very important. Who was assisting us? Was that who assisted us in our planning and a future of Namibia in mind? I don't have a problem with developmental partners, but I have a problem with the results that are not coming out. I don't have a problem with somebody who say, I want to assist Namibia, but I have a problem with the results that are coming out. I don't have a problem with a consultant come to transform an institution, but I have a problem with the results which are coming out. Because there is quite no, it's not only in Namibia, but it's also in other African countries. Because what academia is saying, what think tanks are saying, and what we have been doing, there's quite a difference. Are we at the point where we can sit as a Namibian and saying, let's sit and let's think beyond 2030. And also, let us fill this gap that we currently have. Had we thought long term, can we find ourselves in a situation where we do not know the difference between education to graduate and quality education? Had we thought long term, would we have institutions that are not cooperating with, institutions of academia that are not cooperating with private and public sector in terms of integrating the great mind into into a developmental project, how many of qualified Namibians are part of national developmental projects? Because what is very interesting is that the mind of transforming education, and it was very clear from 1990, looking at the records, it was very clear to say those who plan about Namibian education, they wanted transformation of Namibian education, they wanted, a capacity being built, wanted more teachers, more nurses, more engineers. But is that long-term planning included those who are going to work with those people? Because currently, as we are standing, majority of those who are working are not the one who have who are highly trained, and that was not supposed to be the case. Most of the people that you see in the street are the one who went to universities, are the one who went to vocational training centers. But what can we do now that we are in this situation, especially when it's coming? Because it has to start with planning. Are those who are in charge of planning include human capital? Because economic inequality was supposed to be the history, looking at our population. Housing was supposed to be a history, looking at our population. A lot of things were supposed to be history. Poverty was supposed to be history. Had we planned very well? Did we have developmental partners also in mind when we are planning? Or is only them who have us in our mind? How are we going to transform our institutions? And how are we going to make sure that, moving around the street and seeing young people, they wake up and stand on the road. And I always get into these debates with the parents to say, no, my kid is not able to get an opportunity and what. But I always have a problem is that there is something that we should have done, or there's something that we need to learn that can also assist us to deal with current challenges. Let's look at food security. Where are we standing now? Where are the data? Where are we standing now? And what can we do to make sure that and maybe it's also something that we need to incorporate, especially when we are training and inducting our leaders, to say, yes, now you are in charge, especially post tomorrow. Those who are going to be in leadership. The only thing about that, I've seen a lot of good leaders who, it's good to think about yourself and plan about, how to get power again. But have you ever thought about history? Because at the end of the day, when we are gone, history is going to be written to say, no, this guy was a personal strategist in securing his power and all these things. But let's take a point of analysis and look at, what happened through his or her leadership? What happened? What is the rate of development? What are some of the key projects which were concluded? And what is his contribution to the main national developmental project? Because that should be our guiding plan to say, okay, I'm given 4 years opportunity to serve within a certain board. This is what I'm going to do. And not only for the sake of doing it, but for the sake of the bigger plan. That is a national plan. And how many institutions, and today I'm speaking about public sector because it's an engine. How many institutions within public sector have up-to-date plan that's not only 5 years, but looking at what need to be done, especially after 10 or 20 years. Because 5 years is not a vision. When you look at institutional organ ministries, agencies, they have a vision to say we are striving to be the best here and there. We are striving to be the great in terms of giving this service by 20-something. But is what we plan responding to where we want to go? Because we'll sit down in 2030 and have our way to say, no, this is where Namibia has been. This is it's after 40 years. After 40 years of, you know, independence, this is where we are. And this is what we have done. And this is the workforce that we have. This is the capacity of people that we have. This is where we stand in terms of food security. This is where we stand in terms of innovation. This is where we stand in terms of trade. And this is where we stand in terms of import and export. Look at our international trade statistics on how we deal with things. On what we trade with. Because for the past 5 years, the top five export goods from Namibia did not change much. But we spoke so bold about transforming in terms of economic diversification. Look at our trade policy. Economic diversification is not a new thing. It has been there. Economic diversification to make sure that we don't only depend on one thing. Because we were shocked. We were shocked when we were downgraded by World Bank. We're shocked, but not really, not surprised. We're just shocked, but not surprised, because academicians, think tanks, and some intellectuals also advise to say, don't only depend, don't put your eggs in one basket. Don't only depend on diamond. Try to add value and do other things, but we're shocked. But was that part of our planning? And what is there's one Dr. Jacobs, he's a well-known public figure from Kenya who teaches project management, and he stated that institutions, public sector and private sector, there is planning and implementation. And the strategy, and also short-term plan, that's tactics. And to say, if you don't have tactics in your implementation, or you only have short-term thinking, that is noise before defeat. Because you're only looking at producing something to show off, but you are not looking at sustainable. That is noise before defeat. To say we are building this, we want to show to the public we are doing this. But is that part of our long-term vision? What is our long-term vision? Do we all understand where Namibia is going? Do we have that blueprint that where Namibia is going? Because as I indicated to say, if we are in a bus moving toward the destination called Vision 2030, how many of us have the map? How many of us have the map? And how many of us understand that map? And how many of us understand our role in this bus called Namibia? And how many of us can advise also the driver to say, no, you can take this turn, or you can move at this speed? Because if we are not able to do that, then the concept of development, whatever direction you are coming from, will just be a concept of speaking. And changes will not surprise you if you don't plan for it. Well, one thing when I was reading one book on China is to say China did not want to compete with the US, but their plan was to position them as a global influence. And now you can't deny that. They position themselves as a global influence, and that is what is exactly what's happening. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we move forward.
Love, who's texting us?
Oh, it's the fam back home asking for things to bring with when we go.
Food supplies. Auntie needs her meds. Pick up a package.
That list is starting to sound long, plus the traveling costs. Take control with Express Credit and tick off your festive season wish list. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable in 5 months. Same day approval. Visit expresscredit.com.na or call 081-9500-500.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. Today we are speaking about long-term planning and also to see how many leaders within our public and private institution think beyond their term, think beyond our time. Have you ever seen a well-performing town council, for example, and a very good CEO who got all the awards, for example, but after that person is gone, the institution is going down? What did he do wrong? Was he looking at himself, or was he having a nation at heart? Because long-term plan means that even if you are not there, things can continue to move. Because people think when China is standing, and I'm using this example because it's a very good example during our time of development to see and learn from. People think when China is standing is Chairman Xi Jinping. It's not him, it's principles that they have set. It's a standard that they have set to say, even when Xi Jinping is no more there, the program of China will not change. Corruption will not be tolerated. Investment in intellectual capacity, competitive in terms of technology, those things will not be compromised. That is exactly what they stand for. Yeah, you can still call back. You can still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Because long-term planning is when you are gone, the program can still continue. You know, Iran is one of an example of long-term planners, because look at go and do research about Iran education, their scientific education, their diplomacy. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are
you? I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine.
Yes. What is your input today?
Yeah, I don't know where to begin.
You can begin where you are.
Yeah, I think I can begin where I am.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because most of these topics that you're talking, like yesterday, and I listened, I don't know whether they were, all these days were recorded programs, or they were live. So yesterday we were hammering also on the cyber security. You had very good, a doctor there. One who would have loved to come in, but
you're not going through.
No, we're calling, but we're not picking up.
No, I think it was busy with the conversation. But okay, you can still give your input.
After you are done, you're done. Because usually, two years on the strategic planning. Yeah, it's good to do those strategic planning, but you can also do short planning, where you can really get the immediate fruits, immediate benefits.
Yeah.
Strategic has been blinding people, actually.
Yeah.
Because and many a times people don't monitor as they implement. So if you have a vision of 5 years, whatever, then people sometimes they only wake up when the year is about finished.
they are only looking. Okay.
And that becomes a problem. By the time you want to rectify issues that are not going well, and things like that, you are already in your 5th year.
Yeah, you are finished.
You are finished. If you begin now, then you start implementing the programs, and then you do the monitoring and evaluation. At least, even if something goes wrong, immediately the continuous electrification will be done.
Yeah, yeah.
So at least it will not put you in problem. Mm. But I would love to, because AI,
yeah,
as we are talking now,
yeah,
and we have a, our space in that area is really sometimes compromised. Even the people are doing it. But do we have the law, the legal instruments to protect us?
Mm-hmm.
We are still in the stage of formalizing, I mean, crafting up those laws so that we can then be protected.
Mm-hmm.
The vulnerability that you people were talking about, a lot of things, I don't know how we can really be secure in that kind of environment. We heard South Africa is good. And you know, you that's why I say you are my mentor. From that time when you mentioned about, what is it? Mad Langa.
Yeah.
And I've been just now sitting in the class rack all the time.
Okay.
And then now it goes into issues of G20.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we can really appropriate those declarations to our own situation, because we are also in that form, and we are, especially when it comes to artificial intelligence, you know, those issues that we're talking about.
Yeah.
How are we going to appropriate those declarations to ourselves?
Yeah.
Because we as a people here, yeah, and everybody, they are now going to domesticate those instruments.
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a very good question. And I think we also need to look at what was Namibia's statement on that, and also what can we get from there. Because if the declaration is saying in terms of international financial institution must be, reviewed, so that developing countries should not be charged interest as they are now. There must be equality, and there must also be a special treatment to those who are developing, that also including Namibia. And when you listen to President and I like it when she speak on international platform, because that is her area, when she said international institution must also prioritize those who show commitment in servicing their debts. But it also showed that look at Namibia, because we also paid our things on time so that you can assist us. You got what I mean?
Yes, so you see that the debt restructuring is one area.
Yeah.
And to make sure that the reform on those bodies.
Yeah.
IOM and all those things.
Yeah.
So they seriously need to be speed up.
Yeah.
And that there are so many areas so that we can really make sure that we are also, and ahead. Many other countries, even some of these developed countries, our economy is also doing better than some of them. But many other times, the developing countries are the ones that, yes, that debt restructuring and things like that, as it really came as a very hot topic.
Yeah.
All those things.
But
I think we will do.
I have a question. You know, when you have global economic power who are saying Africa must be given an opportunity, especially at the UN Security Council, and must be at all platform, what stopped them to defend us at UNGA to make sure that there is a resolution to transform United Nations Security Council? What stopped them? Because it's like we're on the same page now, but what stopped them? Because it's not the first time. This thing has been there since 2000 to say, no, Africa, we want to be part of, we want to be part of the main table, UN Security Council seat, just so permanent. But it seems like we're on the same page, but the same number that we are going to have at UNGA, are they going to support us?
Oh, there's no way, my friend. It's a global thing now. It's a collaboration.
Yeah.
Everybody is a global thing.
Hmm.
So, but of course, Africa is now taking its own rightful, the rightful place, as we have been hearing.
Yeah.
Especially on that thing, and I really followed. I could see all the head of state, the delegation, the organization coming in. So I've been in a class. But now, if we are to take our right place, at least South Africa as being a powerhouse in Africa. Anyway, look, Africa now is apparently on the top of the agenda. So with that, if you can leverage on some of this entry point, I think we are just doing well, but we do not coordinate. And our own people here, are we really buying in? In those things, so that we can really mobilize. And it's more about mobilization of the resources and many other things. So are we taking our own part? Are we playing our own part? Or we just want to be following? So I think there are a lot of things that we can take up. I mean, a lot of things that we can do. But if we can just align our ambitions and all those things with all those declarations. Who is then the America, whether they like it or not?
No. Whether they do it?
We are told that we cannot be allowed to be bullied by those people.
The relationship at the international level, you cannot say I don't want to work with you because we need each other for us to breathe, because the world is a global village now. We just need to see how we can work with them.
That's why they thought maybe if they do not come, they boycott this one. But what is very important is the way when they were kind of barred from the conclusion of that meeting. It's because they, and it was even mentioned earlier on from the beginning, the president of South Africa, Ramaphosa, what a man is that?
No, that is his area. If you read South African politics very well, he was a preferred candidate by Mandela to take over.
Then there has been, you know, can you see what they I'm just saying it because it's there. Even those Zuma's daughters and this kind of chaotic. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then Kondo is easy now to find. So those are some of the things that we really need to guide. Because those are very good principles and values.
Yeah.
Those norms. So I'm sure if he could have been gone, it could have succeeded that time. Wow. South Africa was going to be a very, in fact, not only South Africa, Namibia. Remember, those are good leaders. They are just in the same category with the Hage Geingob, Letsie, so rest in peace. Those are the leaders, those are the kind of leaders that you really need, who can really transform our society.
But you know that he also has his weakness, right?
Is there anybody who is
no.
Some of those weaknesses are created deliberately for you to fail. Look at what is important now is about the security cluster. How those things have been handled, and it was going to be chaotic. My God. When I'm listening to some of those people who are appearing before those Hadiok and the Matlank inquiry, it shocks your heart. You say, our security. So even here in Namibia, that's why I said we seriously need to go back to the drawing board and make sure that we put trusted people there. We make sure that we have the security for ourselves. It's for our own sovereignty. If we are not, if we compromise on that, is how the criminal justice system was penetrated.
That's why what we speak about long-term plan. It's like you are using corruption to recruit somebody just to satisfy, to say, no, I'm recruiting my friend's daughter, recruiting my friend's friend. But what is the long-term impact of that person to that institution? That is because you will not see it in the first 10 years, because that person will still disappoint you at some point in time, or will still do the same process, or can even become worse. So let's look at, just hold on. We are going to short commercial break, then we can Vivek.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Save the date for November 26, 2025, when all registered voters head to the polls for the regional councils and local authorities elections. Your voice matters, and your vote is your voice. Head to your nearest polling station and elect your leaders. Remember, every vote counts. Get involved. Put your voice in the box. Vote on November 26, 2025.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Yeah, David.
Yes, yes.
In conclusion,
In summary?
In summary, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we just need to strengthen our capacity.
Yeah.
And ensure that those people who are entrusted and with those responsibility, like we are talking about, those the security, the criminal justice, and all our issues, governance structure there, we just need to be so serious, more than ever before. Even the people that you put on those things, the way I am observing and following this South African, and even this G20 was not going to take place. It was going to be very much in chaos.
Yeah.
But because of the leadership there, that is so held by almost everybody, because people were watching from outside. Even this now guys that have come in, Busiri. Did you see how Busiri came in there? The agents, my brother, and they were preaching the word of God, and everybody's flocking there. And they can now see the damage that they could have caused. Does that not really threaten you? Scare you? So I think we need to seriously do a lot of things, because people can be, I don't know how they can be, cornered into that system and just work for them. The patriotism that you were talking the other day, the identity, was it not you who was talking about?
Patriotism.
So we seriously need to work on our civic education and see, because I see a lot of things, even the voices you can hear that, so here if you are not careful, it can be dangerous. So David, I think it's fine. Let's be, I don't know whether I will have a chance this time around to be following, but it may, then I always put it on so that I follow the news.
Okay. Thank you. You must also follow the ongoing Africa EU summit.
Yeah. Because they were mentioning that there are a lot of in their calendar is packed full, so we should be following those things.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, it's 49 minutes past the hour of 7, and we have 10 minutes to go. And before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day, we still have enough time for you to engage us in the studio at 083 2884-01-083, 2884-01. And when we speak about long-term planning, we are not abandoning the short-term plans to say, if you have a 10-year plan, because that is the example that we are giving to say, when you have a 20-year plan, you must be able to know that what can you do in 5 years, and what can you do in 5 years. We can also look at what can you do within 5 months, because the step you are taking today would define what you plan in the next 20 years, because as developmental economists are stating to say, the standard of China is not an accident. It's a result of good planning with implementation. They knew what they were going to do in a day, in 5 months. They knew what to elevate, because what you plan, there is quite a very big difference, because you plan looking at the vision, but there are also changes on the way to say, whatever happened on the way, I should not divert myself from that long-term plan. That is why when those who are strategic plan, they must also be able to understand the change in the dynamics of things. The economy can change, the finance can change, but you still have the vision that you want to get into. Do we have that in our public sector leader? At what level? What do we need to implement those? How do we look at our plan after 6 months? And what changes do we bring about? What is the monitoring and evaluation tools that we are using to see that we are moving at the right place? And also maybe to look at the let us learn, because there are also those who are doing very well, either is running of state agencies, ministries, and organs of the states, to say there are those who are doing well. What can we learn from the success stories? Because there is always a success story. You cannot say everyone is not a long-term planner, and the long-term planner is nothing without the short-term plan, and most importantly, with implementation, because planning is not implementation. Implementation is what matters. I've seen, and I like repeating this to say, there is a lot of good promises in strategic plans, and I read few of them. But when you look at the report before that, it's quite different. How can we learn from other countries for us to advance our economy? And also look at our prediction and projections. And I want you to take time and look at what happened at the beginning of this year, especially when you look at domestic economic outlook on how the economy is going to grow, and what happened after that. To say no, it's no more going to grow in 2025. It's going to grow in 2026. What did you do to make sure that you deal with those challenges on the way? And also, do you have a long-term plan for our young people? And if you have a long-term, what are we doing now to make sure that those who are at university, those who are at vocational training, are part of the long-term national development? Because life is not ending in 2030. There is still more years. There is still eternity to come. But how is history going to remember us as Namibians? Are we good implementers of what we draft? Or we just draft? Are we at the center of those drafting? Or we are assisted by people who don't care? Even whether the plan succeed or don't succeed, nothing will happen. And how can we improve into that aspect? Because what is necessary is the future. The past, we can use it to learn. But what is necessary is the future. To say, when you speak about industrialization, what are we doing now? Where are we investing now? What are we studying now? What are we prioritizing now to make sure that industrialization can be materialized? When you speak about oil and gas, green hydrogen, and all the other sectors, what are we doing now? Because there is nothing guaranteed. There's nothing that cannot become a white elephant project. If you don't plan very well and implement, you can have all the good visions in it, but there's nothing that cannot become a white elephant project. and White Elephant Project have been seen around. But what can we do to avoid that? How are our human capital? How can we improve our human capital? How can I upskill myself to make sure that I'm up to date with 21st century's required skills? And how can we respect documents and visions of those who came before us? To say, no, David planned about this, but now he's retired or he's no more. What can I add? Because that was the vision. You just end to that. And also to look at those institutions who we entrusted to give us prediction and projection, are we complying to them? For example, APRM is a very good institution. I like it and I read a few documents from it, especially in terms of planning, in terms of evaluating, in terms of its recommendation, in terms of case studies of countries. But what do we do about it? What do we do after reading to say we need coherence? We need coordinations of institutions. We need everybody to we lack in terms of understanding the vision of Agenda 2063 and incorporating it with our domestic policies and also in terms of dealing with our internal affairs. So those are the things that we should continue to speak about and to say, if we want to learn from other countries, if we want to learn from other countries, what we need to do is to make sure that our national interests are not compromised by global affairs. It must start from us to say, in Namibia, we want food. In Namibia, we want, housing. In Namibia, we want, food security. We want industries. What are we doing about it now? An industrialized Namibia is not something that will just come from nowhere to say, no, we reached this year and we have smart trains around Okongo, around Kietman, and we have drones everywhere and we have a happy industrialized nation. We are global competitive. We are no more importing toothpicks by 2030. It's not just something which come with a year. It's something which come with actions. But where is our game plan and how are we going to follow that? Those are the questions that we should ask ourselves. And it's not only about public sector leaders, it's about everybody. Because the bus is not stopping. The bus must move toward that vision. But only when we all understand the map. Because in case the wheel is not is no more, then we can fix the wheel so we can continue moving. And that is where we should start from, to say we are busy with activities, but with this activity toward what? Are we just busy with survival activities, or we are busy with activities that are part of a bigger project? Because speaker was speaking on TED Talk, and I think it's an example which has been given many times, to say when a cleaner at NASA was asked what he is doing with his mop, he was telling people that we are taking a man to the moon, because he understood that if he become the best cleaner, those astronomers, those engineers, it's easy to put a man to the moon with that one effort. So that is a conversation. That is what we need to expand on, to say, what are we doing now to make sure that in 20 years, and have you ever thought of what history will write about you after you are no more there? What is your contribution to national development? Or just personal survivor? But yeah, let's take this caller. Good morning, and we have 1 minute. How are you?
Maybe when you come next time,
oh, no. I think we can have that conversation the other time.
That is what is delaying the things. People are also afraid to come out.
Yes, yes, time.
Good.
Yeah. Dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation, but not the end of the discussion. The discussion must be elevated at the office. Discussion must be elevated in a taxi. Discussion must be elevated at home to say, what are we doing? What is your long-term plan with your loved one? And what do you do to make sure that you achieve what you want? So, dear listeners, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye and see you around.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Shombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The eye.